that's what I put mine over there.
Good deal. Yeah. What's up, everybody? It's John Hudson. Everybody can chime in if they want to. I got a special guest today. I'm doing things a lot different today. So I'm going to give everybody a minute just to kind of chime on in. Welcome to my house, my home. I got a special guest, Mr. Terrence himself. What up? What up? Hey, Facebook Live. We're going to talk about a few things. So as everybody kind of chime in, it's cool. I'm going to kind of do a wall of fame shout out real quick and just tell everybody who's on my wall of fame just to see who y'all know. Terrence came over here and knew everybody on my wall. Oh my goodness. So we got Lecrae right here. We got Shaquille O'Neal. Of course, I got my main man, Julian Vine, Vincent Smith. What up, Vinny? Dedrick Haddon, my Hall of Fame coach, Mike Jeffers, along with Corey Doss, myself. Let's see, this is Jeffrey Hawkins, and then I got Daryl Stuckey, what up, Coach Rocky Lamar, the list goes on and on. Of course, I had to put my mom in there, and it's me and my son. So as everybody is chiming in, we're going to talk about a few things, and we're going to go ahead and get started. What up, Larry? Larry Douglas! My main man.
Larry Douglas?
Yeah.
You talking about Larry Douglas from the old church?
Yeah, Larry Douglas from that. That's my boy. What up? What's up, Larry?
How you doing, man?
What's going on?
Yeah, so we about to get started. I'm put this on.
Well, that's a blast.
That's my boy, man. So I'm gonna put this on for the people. Yeah, he said Terrence. I ain't seen Terrence in
years. Tell Larry, request me on Facebook, man. I haven't seen you in forever. Tell him to request me on Facebook.
So we're gonna have some fun today. Hey, Larry, if you get a chance, tell your mom, tell everybody to chime in. I'm about to do something really different today. I'm probably going to be here for about 45 minutes or so, but I really want everybody to chime in and hear what I have to say today. It's very, very important, all right? So I'm going to change this over, and I want to give a shout-out to my main man, Isaiah, who's behind the ones and twos. Isaiah is here. We are doing something very different today. I'm going to talk about it and explain it. I'm doing something for my not-for-profit today, and I'm also doing something for my podcast, for John Hudson, for Focus Driven, all right? So I'm gonna put this on. Hey, Anita. Anita's in. Anita, you know, that's Larry's sister.
That's it. Oh, man.
That's crazy, right? All right, so I'm gonna turn my camera around. We're gonna go ahead and get started, all right? So let's see here.
Got it.
And let's put it right there. And we're gonna chime in. Yeah. Cool.
Got it sitting right up there.
Yep, we recording? Are y'all in, Isaiah?
Yep, I'm all set.
He's all set. All right, so welcome to Focus Driven TV. This is with your host, John Hudson. I am no stranger to doing this. I've been doing this for years. I have a very, very, very special guest with me today. One of my brothers from another mother's with me right here. This is my main man. This is, before I introduce him, I've been knowing Mr. Flowers for over 25 years.
Yeah.
We go way back from playing basketball to being in high school. We was even nominated for like the Sweetheart King or prom, yes. and all that stuff in high school. So I really am grateful to see this young man here. Terrence is a product of Kansas City, Kansas Public Schools. He is also a teacher now in the Kansas City, Kansas Public Schools. And to me, I salute this young man for doing what he has been doing. A very positive, motivative individual. And he's a family man as well. Got four kids?
Four.
Yeah. Got four kids. I know he got three boys and a girl.
Three boys and a girl. 21 is my oldest son. 19, 11, and 7.
19, 11, and 7. And I know his boys, I remember the oldest two when they were babies,
yeah.
Jordan and Jackson.
Right.
And now they're taller than me. And that's not, and I'm almost 6'3". So I can't even, like, imagine seeing them now. But I wanted to invite Terrence here because it's a lot going on with America today in regards to the whole issue with the coronavirus and homeschooling. So I'm putting Terrence out there because he's a teacher in the middle schools, and he is in the forefront of maybe giving some advice or maybe giving some words of encouragement
not only for teachers, but for parents out there who are really trying to find ways to, impact their children from an educational standpoint. So Terrence, man, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's talk, man. Let's rap. So tell me, man, how long have you been teaching in the school district?
So actually, this is my first year. I'm in the Kansas City Campus Teaching Fellows Program. So I've been teaching since, I like to joke, since May 28th of 2019.
Wow.
So
it's the first year in the
first year, yes, sir.
Well, isn't this a way to start off your first year of teaching?
Crazy. So the last week before spring break, we had a leak in the school.
Right.
We had a gas leak in the neighborhood, which required all the kids to be in their second hour classroom for 5 hours that day.
Right.
And then we have this. So
it's been a roller coaster. Let me tell y'all something about Kansas City, Kansas Public Schools. There is a lot of great people that come out of there, but they don't know Wyandotte County, Kansas City, Kansas Public Schools have struggled for years in certain areas in regards to, I don't want to go into a lot of the political issues, but I will say this. It's just been a struggle from an administrative standpoint to get everybody involved and to keep everybody together for a common good goal for the students. And I'll just say that because I don't want to step on nobody's toes because I love the district. I love, shout out to Dr. Faust and everybody there. All the people who have raised me, from Dr. Cynthia Lane to my own mother to Dr. Mitchell. And see, now that I start mentioning names, I got to go from Lorraine and everybody there. But the schools right now are really trying to find ways to think outside the box.
Yeah.
So now that we have the pandemic going on, there's a lot of online stuff happening for kids for learning purposes.
Right, right.
And Terrence is a teacher, and he actually teaches.
So I teach computer science. I teach, well, the class is called Computer Apps A and B. I teach in what's called PLTW, which is called Project Lead the Way, which is a not-for-profit group that has decided to make technology more accessible to kids in general.
Right.
So I teach what's a class called App Creators, and I teach another class called CSIM, Computer Science for Innovators and Makers.
Cool.
So it's like the Innovators and Makers is like an intro to robotics class where we use these kits, micro:bit kits, to sort of just do a bunch of project-based stuff for these kids and just really try to use technology in a proactive way, so that we can, you know, stop telling stories, because I try to make it like culturally
right.
sensitive,
right?
Because we talk about all the, you know, we talk about the Bill Gateses and the Mark Zuckerbergs,
right?
But I'd like to, what I always say is I'd like to see one of those kids come from my class.
Yeah.
I'd love for there to be a kid from my class that we're talking about
right.
down the road. So I always try to introduce people that are doing what they want to do, but doing it in this area.
Right.
Shout out to Davion Ross over at Shot Tracker.
Right.
Just people who are doing the stuff in this area.
Right.
And just sort of, you know, just so that they can see it, so that they can make it a bridge so that they can actually touch
it. Yeah, so a lot of people don't understand, so I'm glad you mentioned Damian, because I know Damian too, is that nowadays, especially what's going on in society today, everything is becoming more technology-based. And so if you are lacking in that area of technology, you're going to be left behind. But you're not only going to be left behind, you're going to be left behind quickly. And I believe one of the things that's going on, even with the pandemic, is that we're starting to see that there's going to be some type of reform for education because of what's going on right now. And they're starting to find out that you don't necessarily have to be in the classroom to learn, but you still need some type of engagement online or through technology in order for you to be successful in the future.
Yeah, we're utilizing Zoom heavy.
Yeah.
Zoom.
And today we're utilizing Facebook. And I know everybody knows about Facebook Live and all of what's going on through technology. But with Instagram, this is nothing now. You know, what we used to do, like back in the 80s and 90s, we couldn't have done this. I couldn't have went to your house and set up a shot and did all this. I'll be like, hey, cuz, page me. Page me, cuz, and I'll meet you at the studio. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So now it's a whole new ball game. And I want parents to understand that this could be happening for a positive purpose. The whole pandemic is not really a negative thing. And I was telling Terrence when we first started out that, you know, everybody's on the same level. Everybody's on the same country. Whether you rich or you poor, you got money, if you got all the Jordans in the world, or if you got a pair of K-Swiss in the closet, that don't mean nothing right now.
There's nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to go. Tell them.
There's nothing to do. No money to spend. Unless it's a grocery store, there's nothing to do.
There's nothing to do. No money to spend. And right now, all the social distancing is keeping us far away from each other. But it's really, to my knowledge and from my heart present and my spirituality, I really believe it is a time for America to get closer to their families. Absolutely. And to get closer to God. So today, another reason why I got Terrence here is just to talk about maybe some of the successes or struggles that has been with maybe with family during this time. I know you mentioned the boys are back home, so tell me about that.
Well, you know, it's always a trip having, you know, when you have your kids go away to college,
right,
and then they come back. Because
first of all, when you send them to college, you don't want them to come back.
You said that, I did.
But
it's a great point, because it's not that you don't want them to come back, you're just ready for them to sort of find their place in life.
Right.
And it's such a trip, because they've gone out and they've established their sort of rules that in their own spaces, even though it's a dorm room.
Right.
But when they come home, it's that adjustment period where they realize they now have to conform to mom and dad's rules.
Right, right.
You know,
and they're grown. You know what I'm saying?
I guess they're kind of grown.
Grown, right?
Let me put that out. Kind of. I still get dad, can you give me $20 text? And I have no issue with that. It's just that a lot of times, you know, my wife and I, we were joking the other day over Christmas break. Uh-huh. My son was in the kitchen. He's got his laptop on the table. He's playing music. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's frying eggs. Now, that was perfectly fine in the dorm, but at home, you cannot do that. So I always say I love to see them come home, but I love to see them go back to school.
We fried eggs at 2 o'clock a.m.
In the a.m. Frying eggs, 2 o'clock in the a.m.
With his headphones on.
No headphones.
Oh, no headphones.
Music
is on in the house.
He's just blaring the music.
Oh, my goodness. No big deal,
you know.
Wow. But see, that's the adjustment of bringing back home family during the pandemic situation.
Exactly.
And the thing about that I love about what you're saying, Terrence, is that you're the dad in the home. They're allowed to come back. You have a relationship with your children where everybody knows where home is.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Some people ain't got that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Some people don't have that luxury of mom and dad being in a home. With over 60% of African American families being single parent living, you are not a part of that genre.
No, not at all.
And what I want people to understand is that he still is struggling, even in what they call a perfect or a
nuclear family.
Yeah. Right. And so, like me, I'm a single dad. I have two sons. One will be 13. The other one will be 5 here this year. And it's not, you know, I don't have them every single day.
Yeah.
And the options that I have is a lot different from yours.
Yeah.
And Terry's been in my home. He's seen their
beautiful home.
You know what I'm saying? And the thing is that when they come with me, it's, you know, they have their rules with their parent, their mom, and then when they come with me, they're in daddy's house, so we have my rules.
Yeah.
And the rules are a little bit different than yours, but still the premises and the principles stay the same. Now, yours are older, but you have two younger kids.
I have an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old.
Yeah, so they're around the same dynamic of the age that I'm dealing with. But within that time frame, or with those kids, they have teachers, and within their educational setting, how does that look at home with them?
Well, right now, everything's really sort of been on hold. And so what we've just been trying to do is I really just let them really just sort of decompress and rest.
Yeah. we, you know, I have, you know, we, my last night, my daughter and I, she was reading a book to me. So we want to keep them sharp on those things. And then my son, I had him read a book about just about some West African civilization, things like that.
Right.
He's supposed to have read it. I'm going to give him a book report to give me. But we've just been sort of doing that. And so Monday, we're going to just sort of, you know, jump back into it full force because
right.
I felt like the kids, just with everything that was going on, they just needed some time to decompress because this is an unprecedented situation.
Very, so very unprecedented.
I didn't want to just, you know, jam it back into them because, you know, they've been going hard.
Doing what they're doing. Yeah. Right, right. Now, what I really want to mention is transition, because the world right now is in transition, and I've expressed how the transitions with America's schools have been. Tell me a little bit about the whole deal with job. Now, you're a teacher.
Yeah.
So how with the job with you has been with dealing with the whole pandemic and that situation?
Well, this is crazy. So, like I said before, this is my first year teaching.
Right.
So we have been really, you know, we've sort of been in a state of flux, and things have just started to pick back up this week. And so from a district standpoint, we're going to start doing, you know, technology deployment, getting the technology in the kids' hands so that they can start school. And we're going to start back up April 6th.
Okay.
So I believe it's Monday. We have a few different days, Monday, Wednesday, and I want to say Saturday, that we're making sure the kids have what they need from a technology standpoint.
Right.
And then we're going to start back up on April 6th.
And see where it goes.
So we're going to have, we're going to just start posting lessons out there and just sort of meeting with kids online and just
cool.
Still trying to have that FaceTime, but it's going to be digital as opposed to a classroom.
So. Right. Now, with me mentioning career, me mentioning home, now I'm going to kind of tap into the issues with society as far as the pandemic. Have you seen, or can you name one thing that has been a positive from all of the negative that we've heard the last few weeks?
Well, you know, my wife, she actually put a Facebook status out.
And your wife is a...
She's actually a financial counselor. Well, she's a... Oh, my God. How do I say this? She's the financial counseling educator analyst at Children's Mercy.
Okay.
At Children's Mercy.
At Children's Mercy Hospital. So she works in the medical field.
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. Which is, of course, right now on the front lines, very, very demanding job, and also very dangerous considering what's going on. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. And so she is actually, since she's the educator analyst, she's actually working out of the house as well.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So we're all six at home. And, you know, and my wife, it's like she said, you know, I think the positive is we've just been able to slow down,
yeah,
spend some time together. And sometimes that time is just, you know, she's on one side of the room, I'm on the other, the kids are downstairs, and we're just sort of spending some time together as a family.
Right.
And that's sort of been the positive. You know, we're not, you know, because rarely are we able to get all six of us in one place.
That is true.
Trying to get a matter of fact, a good friend of mine, we were all together one day, and he took a picture of us. He said, this is going to be harder and harder. And it really is. There are times that, you know, we have the two little kids, we call them the big J's and the little J's.
Right.
So there'll be times where we have the little J's and one of the big J's, but we never are all together. So that's been the positive, just everybody being together.
And I mean, what Terrence is saying is probably the biggest statement of this whole little interview, is that you need to cherish the time that you have with your family. And you need to cherish it to the point to where you actually love on each other and to empower each other and just utilize your time effectively for the overall goal of what your family concept is. Because I know I'm doing that, but I really want to express you all doing that. One of the things that I have, Terrence, is like I mentioned earlier, I don't have my kids all the time, every day. But when I do have them on the week that I have them, the thing that I notice about America is this. And I want you to think about this from a whole American standpoint. Did you know that crime has dropped since the pandemic situation?
I did not know that. I was wondering what was going on.
You ain't heard about no murders and no homicides, bro.
Right.
Did you know that?
Exactly. I was wondering if that was the case.
Right. Yeah, you ain't heard about that. So the criminals, the violent people, the people of rage, the people of anger, the people of whatever negativity that they have to give to other people, they're smart enough and they know better not to do things, especially when the world is in a standstill.
Exactly.
So this is another proof of showing that if America really wanted to do something as a whole, they can do it.
Oh, absolutely.
Crime, violence should never be acceptable.
Right. Absolutely.
In America or anywhere else. But with the pandemic being around, it has decreased dramatically. So it's just showing me like the world pandemic view of what can change and what people still have power of.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to mention that. And then another thing is too, is we as American people, we know how to stand up for each other and we know how to help each other. Have you gotten any emails, text messages, or anything pertaining to, hey, there's some food being dropped off at this area at this time. If you want to get it, blam, 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 here's the address.
Yeah, I've definitely, not necessarily emails and text messages.
Oh, okay, got
but
it.
But I've seen that, you know, there are organizations coming together, you know, helping out people. What I've seen is, like, with having four kids, I go to the grocery store a lot.
Right.
So what I've seen there is, you know, at first you saw when all this thing happened, people were just sort of hoarding stuff.
Right.
But now what I've seen is, you know, I was at the store the other day. There were two items left, and this guy, he was standing in front of me, and he could have grabbed both of them.
Right.
It's toilet paper, actually.
Okay.
One of the biggest things on the market right now. You got toilet paper. Let's go.
That's my toilet paper.
He could have grabbed both of them, but he stopped. He's like, no, I tell you, he said, you take one, I take one. And, you know, so yeah. I've just seen the communities come together like that and just sort of help each other out because, you know, like, we're all in this together.
We're all in it together.
Rich, poor, or whatever. We're all in this together.
Now, you've seen a positive thing from that. Now, yesterday, I went to Price Chopper, and I needed some hand sanitizer, which is another thing that is, like, gold.
Yeah.
If you need hand sanitizer. And when I walk in, they had these little bitty things and hand sanitizer. You know how much they were selling for, Tim? Normally, they'll be 99 cents
right.
to $1.09. I'm going to show you. I got it right here. This little bad boy right here, hand sanitizer, $4.
See, that's ridiculous.
$4. Yeah, Price Chopper, I'm putting you on blast because that is what they call price gouging. And yeah, we need this kind of stuff. So I'm just letting you know that it is out there. So you got to be careful about where you buy stuff from. So, but I have people here. I want to make sure they're safe. I want to make sure things are sanitized. And even my camera guy working behind the scenes, he got his hand sanitizing. So, but it's out there. So I just want everybody to know that this is changing the whole dynamics of what the world is doing, even from a price gouging standpoint. All right. So I just wanted to show that. So now we're going to talk about some things regarding the book. Now, you mentioned earlier that you may have expressed wanting to write a book. You got some questions for me to change the roles around a little bit.
So, it's not necessarily that I've been writing a book. I have a good friend of mine, Frederick Green. Shout out to Mr. Green.
What up, Mr. Green?
Teacher over at Argentine Middle School. And so, he just said something to me one day. He said, you know, this would be a great time to just start to, you know, with it being my first year teaching, just to start to journal some of the things that happened. Because I've had some of the... It's been so much fun. It's been a challenge.
Right, right.
I will tell you this. Anybody who thinks being a teacher is easy is crazy.
Especially an African-American male teacher, which is a rare economy and a rare thing right now. Trust me, I know because I taught in the district for over 5 years. They latch on to him. They love on him. And they don't want to let him go because of who he is.
2% of all
teachers are black males. So right now, this is gold right now. Rare thing. Go ahead.
I love it. But it's just been, there have been a lot of experiences. And so my friend Frederick, he said, you know, this would be a great time to just to journal some of these things down. That's what I've been doing. What I've been spending a lot of time. You know, I've been spending a lot of time walking and just, you know, enjoying nature.
Right.
But I've also been just sort of journaling my, some of the things that have happened just throughout the year. Cause I've had some crazy things and I don't want to forget them. So, I don't know that necessarily translates into a book, but maybe one day it would. And I was wondering as it pertains to writing a book, you know, how that sort of translates, because like I was saying to Isaac, if you put 100 pages on Word,
right. How does that transpose into a book?
Because that could be a 1,000-page book, you know, right, just right. With everything on there.
So
that's what I was wondering.
So this is a book that I've been telling people about that's called Arthur's Express Handbook. And I'm going to give this to Terrence. This is a special thing for him coming to me, being blessed to be today. But this book actually kind of shows and tells people, if you put everything in a Word document and save it, and of course get it grammar spelled and errors checked and all of that other stuff, they will format it to a Word document and, you know, create it in this format of the book. I've written over 13 books. I have two brand new books coming out. And it's all talking about the whole pandemic. It's talking, one is called Disconnect. And it's about how young people are using or not understanding that social media and things like that is really disconnecting them from reality. And as they see right now, they're actually connecting to get in touch with the reality of how important education is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because when you get out of that stage and don't understand that, you're disconnecting yourself from, and I tell my son this all the time, who loves basketball, kind of like me. Why ain't gonna say kind of, just like me. And all he wants to watch is Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry shoot threes. That's not helping you at all with 1 3-point shot that you want to do.
Yeah.
You literally have to get out there on your own and practice that. Where social media and watching things like that really hinder kids from understanding the reality of hard work.
You know, there's a couple of guys that I follow on social media. They're out of I actually follow them on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they built wildly successful businesses based off their social media following.
Right.
And the one thing that the one of them said is a guy named Charlie Coker. He said that I don't spend all day on social media.
Right.
You know, even though that's where his business is.
Right.
He said, I have to go out and do something.
Right.
Now he has a brand and everything that he's built through social media, but he's like, I don't spend all day here doing this.
Right.
I do this. This is part of the job, but I don't spend all day looking at what other people are doing. Because if you spend all day looking at what other people are doing, you're not doing anything yourself.
Exactly.
There's another guy, I'm talking about this. There's another guy I follow here. He's in Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
His name is James Krause, and he's actually an MMA fighter.
Okay.
And he said he was on a podcast the other day, and he said the same thing. He said, I haven't been spending all my time during the pandemic on social media
right.
and Netflix. He said, I've been doing, you know, building my brand so that when all this stops, I'm hitting the ground running.
Right.
And that's
right.
what I've been trying to do. I've done my fair share of Netflix, but I've also been trying to just sort of do things that just sort of set me up. What I want to do next year in my classroom.
Right.
And, you know, just sort of set me up for future success, especially with my classroom, you know, the projects I want to work on with the kids and everything, just that type of thing. I want to hit the ground running.
But that's cool. I really applaud and admire you, Terrence, because even though it's your first year of teaching, a lot of kids look up to you. A lot of parents, believe it or not, look up to you. And people like me who've grown up with you, look up to you.
I appreciate
it. It's funny, Terrence, I was nominated for an award a couple of years ago, and it's a huge award for my community, and I don't brag. Terrence knows I'm pretty much a humble guy. I don't brag. I don't share all what I do or what I've done, but when he told me he seen my face in the hallway in my high school, he flipped out. So tell me a little bit about that.
No, well, actually, it was at the district office. You know, there's this the KCK Reasons to Believe Award, and I'm pulling into the district, and I see Jay's face right up on there. And then I saw like downtown KCK. It's just a trip, you know, because like Jay said, you know, we go back to. I think I met Jay. I want to say eighth grade.
Yep.
He played at Arrowhead Middle School. I played at Eisenhower Middle School, and then we both ended up going to the same high school. So it's just been a trip just to see the transitions from, you know, literally from boys to men, you know,
right.
And to see, you know, and the Reasons to Believe Award is, like you said, it's a huge award because that's where we come from, you know.
It's harder for us.
Yeah, it's harder, and people don't acknowledge the success.
That's done behind the scenes.
Yeah, they don't acknowledge the people who've come from KCK and done great things. So KCK has done it themselves. And
right.
They wanted to acknowledge the people. And there's such a, you know, there's just such a...
A slew of people. It's a whole lot of people that have not even been touched.
Just from the time that we were at Washington alone, I'm talking about people have literally touched the world.
Right.
And nobody talks about it. So to see Jay be one of those people, it just blew me away, right. You know, to and made me proud.
Right. Because but it goes back to, and I know we share our story all the time.
Yeah.
We was playing basketball. We played all 4 years. You didn't play, did you play your senior?
I did not play my senior year.
But our junior year, we played basketball. We was tired. And I forget where we were. We was tired,
Topeka.
Man.
We come back.
We was Topeka. And me and Terrence was on the bus, man. And if y'all know anything about the bus in the 90s, it wasn't the place really to be. But we all had our CD players and our headphones. And he was tired, and I was tired. And we was just like, hey, man, we just don't make the best of the situation. And so Terrence goes... We were just zonk. The Terrence go, hey, Jay, hey, man, I'm just letting you know right now, I got to ask you a question. This ain't no, you know, I'm straight. We ain't bullying right now. But, hey, man, I just need to lay my head on your shoulder, man. I need to lay my head on your shoulder because I'm sleeping. Do you mind if I lay my head on your shoulder? And I was like, yo, man, it's all good, T. So from that moment on, I knew me and Terrence was going to be like brothers. You know what I'm saying? And so these are things that we can share and let people know how we grew up. And back then in the 90s, everybody was killing each other. Like, drive-by shootings was a regular. People coming by getting murked or having fights in school with knives. And I remember when somebody got hit in the classroom hallway at Washington.
Yeah.
That's the reason why it ain't glass no more. It's because people were getting hurt and violence was happening. So Kansas City, Kansas is not... a place where it's all glitz and glamour. You really got to show and prove. You got to work hard, and you can't take no for an answer. If somebody else tells you no, you got to go and open up another door, knock on another door, and make your way through. So I appreciate Terrence for saying that, but you know, when it comes to setting a platform or setting a foundation for success, you have to work at it. It just does not happen overnight. I want to share this more about this. Self-publishing and publishing for books. If you ever get a chance, check this out on Amazon.com. Author's Express Handbook. I think it's only like $15. It's going to bless you. The biggest thing that I love about this book is that it's a website called CreateSpace that does not exist anymore.
Oh, wow.
CreateSpace is now called Kindle Publishing.
Oh, yeah.
And Kindle Publishing is worldwide. So if you see CreateSpace in this book, it's called Kindle Publishing, and they do everything for free.
Wow.
For free. Wow. So I'm going to give this to make sure Terrence is blessed by this.
I appreciate that.
Man. All right. Take so, hey, Isaiah, how long have we been on the set?
We've been on the set for...
So, let's see. If we've been on there for longer than... I know we've been on here for a while, but I'm about to shut it down. And what I'm going to do is talk about one more thing, and then I'm going to end, and we're going to wrap it up for today. Okay? The last thing I want to talk about... we're talking about reasons to believe. I wrote a book about reasons to believe, so I just want to share that real quick. I want to talk about in the middle of it. We are all in the middle of a very pandemic situation. I brought Terrence on the show today as a father, as a friend, as a teacher, as a male role model. This young man has done a lot in the community, and for this guy to come kind of on a moment's notice, I called him last night, and he came in here. And he's killing it right now. And I really appreciate him with the knowledge and the empowerment that he's given. But he told me that stuff like this, books like this in the middle of it, is some stuff that we need to read. I'm going to share a scripture with you. And then after I share the scripture with you, I may let you go. Let's see. If you can, there was a scripture in Psalms 91, and if you ever look at Psalms 91, it says, in the secret place, those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So I could go a lot into that scripture, but in verse 8 and 9, it goes into, he will shelter you, and he will keep you away from the fowler and the pestilence. And all the things that are trying to come near you, he's going to protect you from that. And so me, I'm always going to express my faith in God and say, with Jesus Christ, we all will win, we will be fine, and that this too shall pass. And if nobody else brings up the name of Jesus, I will. I don't care. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. And something that I love to do, because that is where we're going to find shelter. That is where we're going to find our protection in him. I've also known Terrence to go to church. Me and Terrence go to the same church. And if I was a noob, I would have been a noob. I'm not, but he is. But I know those guys, they all believers. And it's something that I just want to let you guys know, that even in the middle of your situation, God is present. He loves you and he cares. So as I end this, y'all mind if I pray real quick? All right, I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to you right now, Lord, to say thank you. Thank you for this moment in time in Facebook. Thank you for this moment in time in Twitter and all the other places that I'll be on social media, just to let everybody know that this too shall pass, and that God is protecting us even through these hard times, and that with him we will prevail. So God, I pray for all the people who are sick. I just pray for healing right now in their bodies, and I pray that you will order their steps to help others to understand that we can do all things through you. So because of that, we ask the Holy Spirit to be with us and protect us, and we proclaim this and see this out in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. Last thing, Terrence, before I let you go, there is a secret that I have that I'm going to be putting on KCK. I have a non-for-profit organization called Reasons to Believe. You guys will be hearing about it very, very soon. And my goal, I'm just sharing with this with Terrence, because you never know, I might be working with this guy, is to build a community center in KCK. Because we need one bad. And I mean one like in the hood. Like if it ain't in the hood, it's in the area where the hood can get to it, and we can have meetings and talk about things like suicide prevention, academic success, social and emotional awareness with social media. So it's coming soon. So keep me in your prayers. And Terrence, you want to say anything before we go?
I just want to say, you know, my brother and I, we talk about this all the time. You know, I'm, like you said, I'm a product of Kansas Public Schools, and I don't view that as a deficit at all. I loved where I grew up. I love where I come from. And so, you know, when I went to teach back in KCK, I feel like they blessed me.
Yeah, that's how I feel too.
Yeah, I feel like they blessed me. And I feel like, and so the students that I'm charged with, I don't feel like I'm a role model to them. I feel like they're a role model to me. Wow. I enjoy every last one of them.
Wow.
They've been a blessing to be around, even the challenging ones.
Right.
But I love it, and I'm here for the long haul.
Hey, can I ask who was one of your favorite teachers in the KCK school district?
Well, I got like Dr. Lindsay.
All right.
I'm sorry, Dr. Mitchell, Mr. Lindsay.
Right.
Mr.
Lindsay was our choir. Teacher. Yeah. Okay. Shout out to Mr. Lindsay in Atlanta. Love you, man.
Yeah, in Atlanta. Dr. Mitchell, of course, and then
Dr. Mitchell.
Yeah.
But see, Dr. Mitchell is like our age.
Yeah,
I'll get with you, Doc. You was our age because we were seniors and you were
fresh out of college.
But we still love him. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would probably say Miss Jeffries.
Okay.
Miss Jeffries. Of course, Coach Sparkman, Miss Spider.
Right.
I shouldn't name one because there's too many.
But I'm going to name a few. And mine's were in the early beginning stages. So mine's was Miss Belger, was my PE teacher. She taught me everything that I know about physical education. Yeah. And another one was Miss Duvenick.
Okay.
I know you, all these are my elementary school teachers.
Yeah,
Miss Duvenick was my first grade teacher, and I sent her a love letter like 3 years ago because I loved her because she was always on me. Because I struggled with dyslexia.
Oh man!
So she helped me. So she helped me with that. Another one was Miss Duto. I know these are names, and she's no longer living. God bless her. And Miss Harris, who's no longer living. God bless you guys. So we're saying all these things because we're living. We have life. We want to give you life, and we want to express the love and life through Christ. And we just wanted to share those things. But my favorite teacher, one of my favorite teachers, is Mr. Lee, Mr. Robert Lee. From Arrowhead Middle School. I love that man. I heard he's not doing good health-wise, but we love him. Miss Dury, Miss Haley, we love y'all and all the teachers. Every last one of you guys. We really appreciate you guys. So shout out to everybody and God bless y'all. Peace. We're going to end it on that note. Peace.